From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to Let the Bible Speak. Continuing the studies in prayer, Dr. Alan Cairns is examining the structure of what we call the Lord's Prayer. In a few simple statements, the Lord Jesus Christ explained to his disciples the proper way to approach God in prayer. This model prayer is one of the best-known portions in all the Bible. It has brought encouragement and comfort to untold millions down through the centuries. Yet there are those who entertain the notion that the prayer does not belong to the Christian church. Dr. Cairns will describe the principal objections and explain why they are unfounded. First of all, however, he encourages those who wish to know more about God's way of salvation to ask for a copy of his booklet, A New Beginning, in which there is a warning against bad investments.
You've read the headlines, mortgage rates are going up, people are losing their homes, going into foreclosure, businesses are failing, because somewhere along the line, they have made bad investments and bad investment decisions. Now, nobody wants to make a bad investment. I haven't met anybody who deliberately takes his hard-earned money, except somebody who's drinking or smoking or gambling or doing drugs. You could say, yeah, they're deliberately taking their hard-earned money and just throwing it down the drain. But when it comes to investing, I don't know anybody who takes his hard-earned money and deliberately puts it into a bad investment. They think they're going to get something out of it. They think it's going to do well. They think they've got the inside track. They've been given the information. They've studied the thing up themselves. They think their investment is going to pay off. That's why people invest. They think they're going to make more money as the result of it. Now, of course, they often make mistakes. That's why people get into such trouble through investments as they do get into. But it's strange to me that while these investments get so much space in news, whether in radio, newspapers, television, or whatever, that the worst investment of all is hardly ever talked about. It surely is wise for people to want to invest their money wisely and righteously, but you could do that and still be making the worst of all investments. I'm sure you've read of those cases where shysters come along and they can tell people a story, they can paint them a picture, they can make them promises, they can get them to part with their money. And once they've parted with their money, they make off with it. And of course, the person has invested very, very, very foolishly. They have been conned by professionals at the game of conning people out of their hard-earned money. There have been television series on this. You've got people sitting in little cafes in West Africa with nothing but a computer and access to the internet, and they're scamming people all over the United States out of tens of thousands of dollars, getting them to make phony investments. Now, when these people find out what's happened, they are aghast. And they feel such fools that they have been so manipulated. And yet, as I say, they make an even worse investment. And they fall for an even greater scam and a more egregious lie. And I'm talking about investing their life in sin and for Satan. They listen to the devil's lie. He maligns God. He blasphemes Christ. He paints the gospel and Christianity in dark colors. He paints God as an ogre, a tyrant, the life of righteousness and holiness and fellowship with God as a life of misery. He paints the bright lights of satanic attractions as beautiful, alluring, and he encourages people to do what? To invest their lives, invest their souls in sin and the service of Satan. But the Bible says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, the last thing in the world the devil and his crowd want you to think about is sin when it's finished. They want you to think of it now, in the moment of excitement, in the moment of its action. They want you to think of the fun you can feel, the pleasure you can feel at this moment. But they don't want you to think of when it's finished. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Every one of us needs to stop and take stock and ask, how am I investing the one life that God has given me? How am I investing the time, the body, the soul and its faculties with which God has blessed me? Am I investing it for sin and the devil? Or have I ever, as a poor sinner, come to Christ, confessing my sin, to receive Him as Lord and Savior of my life, so that I can now live for Him, make an investment with my life that will pay rich dividends for time and for eternity? Do not make the ultimate bad investment.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If this series on prayer is helpful to you, you may be interested in obtaining Dr. Cairns's book, The Lord's Prayer, which contains the text of the entire series. You may purchase a copy in a number of ways. You may find the book on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Simply go to the website and click on Web Store. If you prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. However you choose to obtain a copy, you're sure to receive a great blessing as you apply these truths about prayer in your own life.
Eminent Plymouth Brethren evangelist in the United Kingdom, he's now operating in North America, who would not permit his children even to be taught the words of the Lord's Prayer, would not allow them ever to say the words of the Lord's Prayer, because, said he, this does not belong to the Church of Christ. These people tell us first there is no mention here of praying in the name of Christ. Therefore, this is not Christian praying. And they say it is praying on the ground of law, not of grace, because the prayer says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is law, not grace. Those are the objections. And I'm glad to tell you that there is absolutely no merit in either one of them. As to the first, that this is not a prayer in the name of Christ. Remember what I said, the pattern here is not exhaustive, but suggestive. The Lord Jesus left the full teaching of what it is to pray in His name until the time when the disciples could benefit from it. And he left it until the end of his ministry. But when we think of praying in the name of Christ, what does that mean? It means many things, but one of those things is we pray on the authority of Christ. And certainly when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are praying it by the explicit authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only so, but when we say, address God as Father, notice we say not my Father, but our Father. Christian never stands alone before God. Never. In the most isolated position in the world, he always is in fellowship with the Son of God, and it is here in seed form, set before us, the great truth of praying in union with Christ, and therefore on his merit. So there's no real ground to the first objection. The second objection is even further from the truth. We are told that we shouldn't pray this prayer because when we ask for forgiveness in the words of Christ, we're asking on the ground of law, not grace. You know, if it weren't for the fact that Christians are often better than their stated theology, I would write that off as arrant, arrogant blasphemy. Stop and think of what it's saying. It's saying that Christ was teaching people to pray for forgiveness on the ground and merit of their own forgiving spirit. Now, you've only got to state this to realize that it is utter nonsense. There never was a time when God forgave people on the ground of law. There never was a time when God forgave any man his sins because of that man's personal legal obedience. Forgiveness has always been on the ground of grace, and always through the covenant of grace that is subsumed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and is executed through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pardon has always been on the ground of grace. So the Lord Jesus is not teaching us some legal prayer. He is not teaching us a prayer that is unchristian. When you stop to think of it, the very idea is preposterous that the Christ is teaching his disciples to pray an unchristian prayer. The idea is nonsense. This is a model prayer that does not belong to some other dispensation, but to the people of God in all ages. It's a model prayer, and it's for use by God's people. And the Lord Jesus means us to use it in two ways. First, he means us to use it word for word. He means us to pray it as he has given it. How do I know that? Well, in the parallel passage in Luke chapter 11, verse 2, he said, when ye pray, say. Then he gives you the words. Now, isn't that plain? I don't think anything could be much plainer. When you pray, say. So the Lord Jesus intends us to use these words. I have often felt, I'm not going to tie myself to this at the moment or tie you to it in any legalistic fashion, but I've often felt it would be a good idea when we pray never to omit the Lord's Prayer. I've even felt at times that I would introduce that into every service, and then I've stopped short and said, well, this is really speaking of private prayer more than public. But in the private place, I think there's a lot to be said for never omitting the Lord's Prayer. The late Martin Lloyd-Jones said that he always liked to come to the Lord's Prayer because he felt that if he had left something out, or he had misstated something or misunderstood something, that at least if from his heart he was praying the Lord's Prayer, he was genuinely, scripturally covering the whole ground. Now, we're not simply to recite it. We're not to put it, as it were, in the hard disk of our brain and let it come out there where we are thinking on something else. We're not meant to operate like these modern computers that can do two jobs at once, one in the foreground and one in the background. We are meant to come to God with all our thinking processes in order, with the fullness of our being put into the prayer, We are not merely to recite the words, but I think that we should take seriously the words of Christ. When you pray, say these words. He means us to use it as He give it. But then He obviously, secondly, means us to use it as a basis for all our prayer. Have before us in Matthew 6 and verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Now, I want you to stop and think of this. The disciples asked the Lord, and in Luke 11 we find this was why He gave them the Lord's Prayer. Teach us to pray. What we have here is a lesson from the greatest master of prayer the world has ever seen. The Son of God Himself. The one who could say, I know that Thou hearest me always. The one who never had a prayer unanswered. The one who was the master of entering into the presence of the Father. And He now begins to teach us to pray. And He's teaching us how to engage in the most important spiritual exercise in which any Christian ever can be involved. If you look at Matthew 6 very carefully, you'll find the Lord Jesus is speaking of very important things. He speaks about giving alms. And He speaks about fasting. Now, obviously, these are important issues. Giving out of a heart of generosity to the work of God, to the needs of fellow men. That's a very important subject. Fasting, with all the ideas of the denial of the flesh and getting alone with God and leaving aside even the necessities of daily life to be with Him. Fasting certainly is important, especially when we understand the Lord Jesus said there are certain times we come against the revealed powers of hell that are so strong that this kind goeth not forth but by prayer and fasting. So fasting's important. But let me tell you, far more important than any of them, and indeed that which gives validity to the other two, is this matter of prayer. It is prayer that is the measure of your maturity. I understand that. It's not how much of the Bible you've committed to memory, though I trust you will do that. It's not how well read you are in theology, though I trust you will read widely and deeply. It is not how well you know the distinctives of this church or some other church. It is not how well versed you are in the history of God's church. Those are all vital and important things. It's not even how active you are. That again is vital. But what really measures your maturity is your praying. The gauge of your growth is your praying. Those who have been with us from the early days in Sharon Drive, remember that I set down the law then, the law of our lives, that no man can be greater anywhere than he is on his knees before God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.